Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the second installment of the Shrimp Tank. It is a balmy 75 degrees in the Business Radio X studio. I'm sitting here with my co-host, Chris Hanks. I want to talk to him in just a little bit, but I want to let you know a little bit about the Shrimp Tank. For those of you that did not hear our first installment with Rhonda and Frank Duffy, I recommend you go back to shrimptankpodcast.com and check it out. There's great stuff. We have a fabulous guest today that I'm going to introduce you to, and you'll learn more about what we do at the Shrimp Tank, where not only do we help young entrepreneurs out there take their dreams and help them turn it into reality, we also talk to some of the most successful business owners across the United States about the do's and don'ts of running a business, and we learn all about their trials and tribulations about what it takes to hit success, because that's what this is all about. We're going to be meeting some of the youngest, brightest entrepreneurs all across the state of Georgia in order to be able to help them figure out how to take those ideas and turn them into a superstar business. Now, I'm joined, as I will every week, with my co-host, Chris Hanks, who is the executive director of Kennesaw State University School of Entrepreneurship, an amazingly unbelievable program that's growing here in the state of Georgia. And we didn't get a chance to do it last time, but I thought before we introduce Tom and we get everything going today, you might tell people a little bit about just what's happening, just the explosion that's happening at Kennesaw State and what you're driving there.
Yeah, because at Kennesaw State, we're really trying to make a movement in entrepreneurship, mainly by bringing together the best practices of entrepreneurship. This is certainly part of it, having tremendous guests like we have today, and also being the only entrepreneurship major in the state, so that we will have it be the destination point for any young person who's serious about entrepreneurship. We are going to have a place where we can transform people through that entrepreneurship and get them from where they are to where they want to be.
I mean, understanding at some point soon, there's going to be some sort of The Voice type competition for entrepreneurs. Is that a myth, or this in fact fact of something that's coming down the road?
That is the rumors that are floating around, and we are definitely moving to make that a reality. So imagine what The Voice would look like if you combine that with Shark Tank / Shrimp Tank, and that's what this competition is going to be. So we're going to start with 100, and only one will get the $100,000.
Yeah, well, we're really excited about bringing you this Shrimp Tank program. You know, the truth is that in America today, where do the jobs happen? Look, I worked for a big corporation for almost 17 years. And after a while, big corporations grow. They grow by cutting people, right? They figure out how to lower their expenses and they've got to meet Wall Street expectations. And it's a small business owner in America. It's that person that wakes up out of bed and says, I have a dream. I want to go out and make it happen. I want to hire people and create something unbelievable that truly makes our country what it is. And it's why I'm so excited. So we have a great guest this week, as we will on the Shrimp Tank. And we bring you not only great young entrepreneurs, but successful business owners. We have Tom DiGregorio. I know it's a mouthful when I say that.
You did well with that.
I did all right with that. And I got to know Tom, a few years ago and excited to share his business story today. He is the owner. He's the CEO, the founder of a company called AquaGuard. He's owned that company for over 20 years. Last year, he won the Atlanta Metro Chamber of Commerce Business Person of the Year. Now, we're just talking about second place, third place. We're talking about top place in all of Atlanta. And if you have not seen Tom's commercials, not only on TV, in fact, one of our fellow friends here, Lee Heisman, is on one of those commercials, but looking good. It was a little bit of a cheesy smile, but he still looked pretty good on there. But tremendous respect for what Tom has done. I also love the fact that, I went to school in Boston and Tom went to Boston University. So
yes, I did.
Any guy that comes out of Boston is a successful business owner. I have great respect for that. So we wanted to start off today, as we will in Shrimp Tank. We want to hear a little bit about your story. So how did you come up with this business? A lot of kids don't graduate BU and probably say, hey, I want to get into this kind of business. So how did this even come to fruition?
Well, that's a great question. I actually was a finance and marketing major from Boston University, and the last thing I thought I was going to be was a contractor. So I was in the kind of corporate world, if you will, for a number of years. It's what transferred me from Boston to the Atlanta area. And after 5 years down here, 11 years total with the company, I just realized I was not in control of my destiny. So I resigned after 11 years, and a friend of mine who was in the printing business had one of his customers who was in the waterproofing and foundation repair business. And at the time, this was in the early 90s, we were just booming with construction. There was 20, 30,000 homes a year being built. And he said, hey, let's get to the new construction portion of this. So I joined with him. And it took me just a few months to realize that he and I weren't exactly cut from the same cloth. He was much more of a contractor mentality, and I was much more of a business person. So I dissolved that partnership quickly and started my own business, AquaGuard, in January of 1995. Although we were doing new construction, which was still booming at the time, it was within that first year that we got hit with Hurricane Opal. And a bunch of rain, and we had just started doing a little repair work that was the repairing of existing foundations, whether they be leaking or settling. And we started transitioning into the repair end of things and ultimately transitioned out of new construction and now do strictly the repair side. So kind of got into it by accident, but there was a tremendous need here in Atlanta when I realized the way they're building the homes, at the rate they're building them, and the codes are so lax. I knew that there was going to be a repair market in this town forever. So, and that's really where we focus, helping homeowners solve their problems when it comes to their foundations.
So, Tom, you said something that's kind of intriguing to me. So I was hoping you could expand that a little bit. You said that you had a different mentality with that person. So one person had a mentality of a contractor and you had a different mentality. Mm-hmm. So what kind of mentality does it take to have an aggressive growth business like yours?
Well, you know, no matter what business you're in, and, you know, we're home services contractors. So we can be the best we are in our industry, but you've got to, number one, people got to know who you are. And when people ask me, you know, what do you do? What's your company do? I tell them we are a phenomenal marketing and customer service company that happens to do great foundation repair and basement waterproofing. Because no matter how good we are, if people don't know to use us or to give us a call or to look us up online, then we're just going to be a really good company waiting for the phone to ring. And it's hard to grow under those circumstances. Mm-hmm.
Hey, you're listening to The Shrimp Tank here on Business Radio X, as we will come to you every week. You can always hear our replays on shrimptankpodcast.com. We're here with Tom DiGregorio, who is the owner and founder of AquaGuard. And I have a question here when you said this here. What do you do exactly? This is AquaGuard. I love the catchy tune, I have to say. I'm a little bit hooked on it when I hear the commercials. But what is it that AquaGuard, what do you do exactly as a business?
Well, what we do is we do all forms of foundation repair. When a foundation settles, cracks, bows, leaks, anything to do with the foundation, whether it's failing or leaking, that's what we do. And it's typically in the residential. We have a commercial division as well. But when it comes to the foundation, so when we're dealing with homes that typically have basements or crawl spaces, and if they leak, settle, crack, bow, or fail in any way, shape, or form, we come in, we fix it. Make that customer feel comfortable that their biggest investment is now back on solid ground. And typically most of our work comes with a life of the structure, transferable, nationally backed warranty.
Chris, I swear I saw Mike Rowe on Dirty Jobs do this one day. I don't know what he was doing underneath the crawl space somewhere, but it's nowhere that I wanted to be because he had on some sort of mask on there and mm-hmm. It just looked like pretty tough work.
Our guys work very, very hard for their money. And when it comes to crawl spaces, you know, these guys are on their bellies. They could be in a crawl space with a foot to three of clearance, trying to install drainage systems or an encapsulation system and, you know, pumping systems and dehumidification systems. So it's tough work.
Yeah. Here's the question that I was really anxious to ask you as the business person of the year. So what advice would you give to other entrepreneurs? What's the best piece of advice you can offer?
Boy, that's a loaded question. Ultimately, if a company is going to grow, the business owner is going to soon realize that the success of the company is no longer based on what he does or she does. It's based on what his people do. So I think the biggest piece of advice I can give is find, train, motivate, and retain excellent people, because you're going to be way over your head in a very short period of time, and you just can't do everything. And when you do, something's going to suffer, and that's going to be your business, your customer service, the quality of your work. Something's going to suffer that's going to set you two steps backwards instead of being a step ahead all the time.
Hmm. Well, I love that real slogan that you've got there, and find, train, and retain. But I think the hardest thing for a lot of young entrepreneurs, and I wonder how you did this in the early years of your business, is that find part. How do you find the talent that in a selection process, or how you interview them, or how do you network to be able to find the people to work for your company that are the right kind of people?
Well, we've definitely refined that process over the years. You know, when you're in business in the early years, you're, you know, our goal was certainly to make sure we were around in our second, third, and fourth years. You have a tendency to find people that have experience in your industry, which I've found to actually be a big mistake. Because with it comes bad habits, comes a mentality or a culture that isn't inbred in them that's going to help you grow as a company. We're a pretty niche business, but we've certainly come to realize at this point here, I would take somebody with no experience and the right attitude and train them than someone who has direct relevant experience in our industry and then try to make them something they're not.
Yeah, like hire the mindset and then train the skill set.
Exactly right.
So once you find that right mindset and you train that skill set, how do you keep them? How do you retain these great people?
Well, you know, back to, I kind of tie that into the original question you asked is what's one of the best pieces of advice? We have a lot of entrepreneurs or business owners who know their craft, they know their business, but until or unless they learn to become an excellent leader of people, then you're going to have people coming in and out. They're going to, because people don't quit companies, they quit people. So if you're not a really good leader and you hire, and train middle managers who you need them to be excellent at what they do, well, these are the managers that are leading the people who are, you know, doing the physical work or doing, various aspects of the business. And if you're not a great leader and you don't train your leaders to be great leaders, then you're going to start turning people over for the wrong reason. And turnover costs a ridiculous amount of money. Most people don't look at it, but it costs a lot of money.
Huge costs for retention's huge.
So it's really about learning to be a good leader. And it's one thing I pride myself on is 21 years into this business, I'm every day, you know, looking and learning how to be a better leader, better motivator, better manager.
Yeah, you don't want to be a boss hole.
No, you don't.
A boss hole.
Yeah, exactly.
Is that a KSU slogan?
It's a thing now.
That's in the manual now?
Absolutely. That's going to be in our curriculum from now on, right? Okay. Don't be a boss hole.
Well, people quit boss holes.
They do.
And that's the problem.
And B players don't work, A players don't work for B players, right?
Well, they may start that way, and then they realize this isn't really what I thought it was, or I don't see this taking me and my family where I want to go, so they start looking. We look for gainfully employed people. Went back to your question, Ted, is, you know, and I made probably a better part of 10 years. I made the mistake of hiring people who had experience because we thought that would be helpful. And the caliber of people, not that everybody who has relevant experience isn't of great caliber, but a lot of them aren't. We're in a construction world. So we found that when you bring on excellent people, they know excellent people. And one of the things that's been happening also over the last several years is our great people are referring people they know. So now we are just developing an incredible team of people, many of which have been referred by excellent people already within the organization.
Hey, you're listening to The Shrimp Tank here. We come to you every week from Business Radio X. It is a balmy, as I said in the beginning, a balmy 75 degrees in the studio. You like that, Ryan, huh? So we bring to you every week, as we will, some of the brightest and best entrepreneurs in the entire country. You can always hear our replay on shrimptankpodcast.com very soon. And Chris has been a huge inspiration in driving this in the Shrimp Tank, is that we're going to be at high schools and working with college students, and you're going to see some cool, unbelievable ideas come up business-wise. And Tom, you know, one of the things that I wonder about, not only as a business owner, but I even wonder as a parent, as I see that many of the high schools today have this focus of a career track of going to college. And they're not as focused on vocational studies, or they're not as focused on people becoming an entrepreneur. But especially even when it comes to being an entrepreneur, I wonder how you might encourage kids that are thinking about going into a blue-collar business. You know, it's interesting that even kids that may graduate school, technology is a very sexy business. I develop an app or I'm on the web. But, you know, I believe that a lot of the blue-collar businesses are tremendous businesses to run and make money. And in fact, most of the successful people I've seen in the city run these types of businesses. So what kind of advice or encouragement could you give to an entrepreneur that, you know, may be thinking about that?
Well, you know, I went to school and think it's great, but I don't think it's the end all be all. In fact, I'm using probably less than 5% of what I took tests on, and I was going to one of the top 10 business schools in the country at the time.
And Mr. T's Pub didn't help out there, right?
No, it didn't. So, you know, the backbone, I think, of the country is a lot of these blue collar home services or construction type businesses, and we still need excellent people. So I think a lot of college students are coming out of school with these degrees and they can't do anything with them. And the economy is not really growing, so there's not a ton of opportunity for them. So they're going back to doing whatever they can to make a buck. But in our industry, I can tell you that our folks work hard for their money, but we pay very, very well. Our foremen are making $65,000 to $80,000 a year.
Wow.
And there are kids coming out of college who are nowhere near that. And there are people who've been working 10, 15 years who are making nowhere near that.
Yeah, they're saying double espresso or triple latte or whatever it is now. So they finish school.
So, I mean, learn the trade, whatever it is, and there's a lot of them out there, but I'm still going to go back to what I was saying earlier. No matter what trade you learn, you still have to continue to personally grow. You still have to learn to be a good leader, be a good, and even if that's just leading your life in a way that isn't going to, you know, I guess, set you back. I mean, we have a lot of issues over the years. People, that they get in their own way, and it isn't what they're doing at work. It's the way they're not leading themselves in their lives outside work. They carry that into the workplace, and ultimately it leads to reprimands and terminations because we can't put the success of our company on people who aren't handling themselves well. So learning to be a leader, learning to be a great steward of the company, and learn the behavior on what it takes for your bosses to take notice. Because, you know, we're growing all the time, and we love to promote from within. So I would much rather take somebody that we have a track record on that's proven to us their reliability, the way they handle problems, the way they handle successes, and promote them from within, then take somebody off the street who has a resume that looks great. One's proven, one is on paper.
I was really interested how you described your company as a marketing company. Mm-hmm. So what would you say is your most successful marketing strategy?
Well, probably the number one is to make sure you wow your customers every single time, because my goal is to be a referral-based business, and that doesn't cost anything. Referrals are free. But you've got to take care of your customer. Otherwise, they're going to spread the word, whether it's positive or negative, and I think we know that you want it to be positive. Beyond that, depending on the industry you're in, there's lots of ways you can do it. The internet is our number one lead source. Atlanta is a huge internet-savvy city, so... Mm-hmm. There's lots of things you can do on the internet and online that will get people there. And of course, we have developed a great marketing program that includes not only radio and television, but print, magazine, everything that comes into your home, chances are we're in, whether it be a newspaper or some of the mailers, we're in all the home review books. So it's kind of a combination of things. We have anywhere from 35 to 45 advertising campaigns going on all the time.
You know, I've watched your marketing for a long time in this city. And I think that, I guess, since we're not really on traditional radio, are we, Ryan? Yeah. So I guess, you know, the thing that a lot of entrepreneurs don't understand, and I'm curious, you know, to Chris's question about your take on this, is that there's a point where it really does take big, big balls to be able to say, I'm going to lay out a check to not only try to grow new clients in my business, but try to brand my business so I'm recognized by people wherever I go. And I think it's one of the hardest things for entrepreneurs is that leap of faith from, you know, friends, family, knock on doors, to doing what you do today, which is basically what I would consider to be 360-degree surround sound marketing campaign. And you do it very well. Like, so how do you encourage the small business person that says, I have $10,000 in my checking account, I'm so afraid I'm going to go broke? How do I know when to take the risk to do this full-scale onslaught marketing campaign?
Well, with $10,000 in the bank, that wouldn't be the time. but it's a process. I think if you're constantly studying business and your business and your industry, you'll make better decisions at the right time. And there's a time to do it and a time not to do it. But you can ease into it slowly. The internet still is one of the most cost-effective ways to advertise, and people go to the internet. So there's pay-per-click programs, and there's things you can do to build your presence organically. And then beyond that, I would really recommend an advertising agency. So many business owners that I see are out there. They make that, they're dropping that big check, and they're actually negotiating with radio and television stations, and the reps from these stations love that because they're inexperienced and the rates are going to be higher than they need to. They're not going to get the coverage or the impressions that they need. So listen, when it comes to being a businessman, I think the best thing you have to realize is you can't be great at everything. Hire people who are better at you in all facets of business and let them do what they do. Train them well and then get the heck out of the way and let them do what they do best.
This is why I let Lee Eisman do my technology, right? He does the IT for me and a lot of people in this city too, because I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah. Yeah, I always had the visual. I want to be the Ringo Starr of entrepreneurship because I think he was the luckiest Beatle. You know, and he surrounded himself with better musicians and better talent. And then he gets to ride that train of success. So I always wanted to be Ringo Starr and bring in people that are better than me.
Well, he was a pretty lucky Beatle, wasn't he?
He was incredibly lucky.
Just bang the drums here.
I think a lot of business owners get their egos in the way and they think they have to be all things to everybody. And they just can't. Nobody can be everything to everybody and nobody can be great at everything. And as your company grows, you have to departmentalize it and get great people in place. And let them do their job.
Yeah, that's one of the arts of scaling, that you have to be free to do the things that only you can do. And that's a tough thing because we feel like we have to be a well-balanced leader and we have to be involved in every aspect of our business. And that actually hurts the business. Study after study shows that versus, okay, what are the things that I have the biggest impact on my business? How do I stay focused on that? And how do I do the things that only I can do?
Exactly. And you know, we do an exercise with our management team at least twice a year. And we call it the high value activity, low value activity. And for my team, for my management team, we put down everything that they're currently doing and we classify it into a low value and a high value. A high value for a business owner is something that I'm going to do that's going to have a big impact on my business in 6 to 12 months down the road. Business owners have a tendency to get caught up in how they're going to deal with the problem we're doing right now, how we're going to fix it, and that's going to get us to tomorrow or next week or next month. A good business owner is thinking about what they're doing today and how it's going to impact the company 6 months to years down the road. Get your people, your management staff, to deal with the day-to-day. But even the team leaders in the departments, they have to look at their day as well. And they may have a lot of low-value activities that they're doing that are keeping them away, keeping them from being making their department better in 6 months or a year down the road. So what that means a lot of times is if there's just more things than they can handle, then they've got to get an assistant in place to handle some of those low-value activities so they can focus again on the high-value.
Yeah. It's like the difference between being a chess master and the chess piece, right? You're thinking 8 moves ahead versus being very tactical. So I like that.
Hey, you're listening to The Shrimp Tank here on Business Radio X. I'm one of your hosts, Ted Jenkin. I'm sitting here with my co-host, Chris Anks, who is the executive director at Kennesaw State University School of Entrepreneurship, which if you haven't taken a look at it, is exploding right now. You know what? And Chris can correct me on this, but I think there's only one other school in the entire Southeast United States that even remotely has a program in entrepreneurship. And now the state of Georgia has got a platform for students to take their ideas, to learn how to become an entrepreneur. And maybe, even if they're half as successful as Tom, they're probably going to not skip a meal, but you know, have an opportunity to not only create a tremendous business, but change the lives of tens of thousands of people in the state of Georgia by creating something amazing. So we're really excited, you know, every week to bring you great entrepreneurs from across the country. Tom was the 2015 Metro Atlanta Chamber of Commerce Business Person of the Year and has built a tremendous business over the last 21 years with AquaGuard. I'm wondering here, both for, I got for Chris too, because I'm really curious about how you're teaching students about this. And Tom, I know, has experience in this, that sometimes being a business owner seems like the life of Riley. If you're Lee Heisman, that is. It's the life of Riley. So and the reality is that all businesses go through peaks and valleys. And sometimes you hit better peaks and sometimes you hit worse valleys. And I know that 2008 in Atlanta and the construction and when everything shut down probably was a more challenging time than it is today to run the business. And so How do you stay motivated personally, keep employees motivated, keep the business going when you're getting kicked in the shins? And Chris, how do you even teach kids that are getting into this? Because they're all pie in the sky excited about making millions of dollars. But let's be honest, you're going to get hit with a lawsuit here and there. You're going to get hit with an employee that's an absolute pain in the you know what, and every once in a while you're going to get kicked in the shins during an economic downturn. How do you even deal with that when it happened in 08?
Well, 08 was not only that was the most challenging time of my life and my career for a lot of reasons. One, because of the economy, and two, we were facing what turned out to be almost a 4-year drought. Now, we were in the basement waterproofing business, if it doesn't rain, basements don't leak. If basements don't leak, then we're limited with what it is that we can do. And at the time, I was not nearly as doing as much work with crawl space repair, which doesn't necessarily have to do with water. Crawl spaces all need to be repaired, whether it's wet or dry out, the way the current codes are. But and foundation repair, structural repair. In fact, when it's very dry in this town, because we have what we call expansive soils, when they expand and contract with moisture. So when it's very dry, the soil shrink up much like Play-Doh does. And everybody who's got kids knows that if the kid leaves the top of the Play-Doh cap off, it's going to shrink up and you just turn it upside down and it falls right out. Well, in Atlanta, that's what happens to our soils. And when that happens to the soil, the foundation loses its ability to hold the load and we get foundation settlement issues. So we were not really set up then like we are now to do a diversification of foundation repairs. So we were a little bit too dependent on that. We got through it. And certainly since then, we're not a rain-dependent company any longer. Rain gets our phone ringing. But we no longer have to have it to survive.
And what do you tell kids at school? I mean, how do you train a kid that gets into this? Again, everyone's always excited. My idea is going to change the world. Not many of them do, but a lot of them think it's going to change the world, right? But how do you tell them to deal with the downtime?
It's tough, too, because at that level, it's spring training, right? Everybody's going to win the World Series. And so, you know, you're going through that. And when you first start a business, it's kind of like, you know, when you enter into a marriage, right? Newlyweds, we're always going to get along. We're never going to argue. When you leave the cap off the toothpaste, that's not going to annoy me. And then as you get into the reality of entrepreneurship and these difficult times, that reveals conflict and it reveals character. When you're staying up till 2 a.m, when you haven't been paid, when you're struggling to pay your mortgage and all those kinds of things. So one of the things that I coach is something I stole from a mentor of mine who was the highest decorated military officer in Vietnam. And he got right up in my face and he said this to me and I never forgot. He said, "What will be your battle cry when you go through the dark night of the soul?" And I never forgot that. And I think that we have to lean on a battle cry because we start thinking like, gosh, maybe I can't do it. And we struggle with that self-doubt and everything's going against us. But when it's 2 a.m. and you can't sleep, what is your battle cry? What is the thing that's the why behind what you do? Because if we identify the why, we can endure almost any how. So why am I doing what I'm doing? And that's what we have to identify. And if your why is big enough, you'll get through those dark nights of the soul.
Agreed.
And Tom, you said in here earlier in the show that people don't quit companies, they quit people. And so, you know, for a budding entrepreneur out there, even a successful entrepreneur that's listening to this, that their company may be going through some struggles, how do you go about building the culture as the leader from the top, building that organization? Because I wholeheartedly agree with you that people do not quit companies. They do. They eventually get agitated with their manager. It's hardly ever about pay. How did you go about building that culture so people want to stay and grow with the company?
Well, it starts with the owner. He or she's got to impress upon the people that are working with them what the culture is all about. That it's about doing the right things for the right reasons. That there's no nepotism or politics. If a department head, and this happens all the time, can be a boss hole to their employee.
That's a word now. That's a thing.
It's going in urban slang dictionary soon. Bosshole.
Hashtag bosshole.
And let's suppose the owner knows about it, but you know that's an important position, so they say nothing about it. Or even the other middle managers know that the person who runs that department is one of those. It's not tolerated in our company. It just isn't. We're going to call each other out if we're leaving an impression other than the culture we want to have, which is it's all about A, taking care of the customers, and B, leaving them with a feeling like, wow, I didn't really expect that. And it's the same thing with management. So if management is not leaving that impression with their people, then they're going to be called out on it. And chances are they're not going to be in that position long. But we vetted our people long before they get in a position of responsibility of managing people. But I can't tell you, it never happens. It's just you have to monitor it all the time.
So what's the thing that you, like, if you're monitoring it, is there a key measurable? Is there one thing you look at on a regular basis?
Well, first of all, we meet weekly at the very least, and we talk about these things. We are constantly studying. Part of our team meetings, which are typically about 3 hours long once a week, we'll spend at least an hour of it reviewing a book that we're all reading that has to do with management or leadership or something that we're all embracing and practicing. So we are constantly evolving and growing. And we expect the same from our people who want to grow. It's out there for people within our organization who want to grow. They know that if they get with their manager, that we're going to give them the tools they need to not just do a better job of what they do every day, but set themselves up for opportunities as they come with our company. So it's, as our company grows and expands. So meetings, and of course our middle managers need to give this message to their folks as well. It can't just be something they expect the owner to say. In fact, success in my mind is when I hear a technician or a sales rep say something that would come out of my mouth, I know they have embraced what it is, the culture is, and it'll be taken much better when it comes from somebody other than me because they expect it from me.
Yeah, absolutely. That's always the sign. Like, you know, culture is really what people talk about at the Sunday barbecue and how they would describe you and their company, right? It's not what you say, it's what they say.
Well, you knew when I was at KSU last week, one of your students said this, and I don't know if I'm going to quote it exactly, but they said, culture eats strategy for lunch.
Yes, that's a quote from Peter Drucker that I've said often in the classroom.
I love that, and that is so true. I mean, boil it all down to that. You can have the best strategy in the world. You can have the best business or products or services. But if you don't have the culture to go with it, it's going to be short-lived or you're limiting your success tremendously.
Absolutely. I remember, guys, that I had an early boss early in my career when I started selling who said something similar to that, that said focus beats brilliance all the time, that you could be the most brilliant person in the world, but you're able to focus and execute on a couple of things and you end up doing them well, you could just beat the snot out of your competition. And I think years later, he was probably right. It made me wonder, Tom, that, you know, when you crush your competition, which I think you've done a pretty darn good job in Atlanta, you know, and I know there are a lot of businesses, when you look at other kinds of businesses like heating and air conditioning, or you look at people who do plumbing, you know, there's tons of battles going on. But I think you really had a dominant foothold in what you do in your business here in Atlanta. How do you stay motivated? And when you get to the top, now you're business person of the year. How do you stay motivated to take that, you know, next level? How do you win another championship?
Well, it's repeat the process is really what it is. You know, we've grown, you know, tremendously in the last 5 years. And we're going to double again. We've more than doubled in the last 5 years. Well, we've got a goal to double again in the next 5 years. So to do that, you repeat the same things. And it's you know, kind of what we talked about earlier, hire, train, motivate, replace, repeat. And you don't stop that process because we're always replacing our bottom 10%. I mean, if you just look at the way any professional team works, big New England Patriots fan.
Oh, yeah.
And they...
When are you getting Julian Edelman back? He's going to come back soon.
And the bottom line is they are just students of the game. Bill Belichick is a master, and he, whether you love him or hate him, his team respects him. They know that he's serious about winning the ring. I mean, you got to want to win the ring.
They said that they won, I think, 13 of the last 15 division championships in 7 years in a row. That they've won the division championship right now, which is amazing. There's only been a couple of teams that have been able to do that.
It doesn't happen by accident. That is that's very intentional, and that's what you have to do. Back to your question, you've got to be intentional all the time. You know, we have a kind of a slogan we use, which is, and we have built an excellent reputation, but there are a few other companies in this town who had excellent reputations. But we come to work every day building our reputation, never relying on it. And there are a few in this town, I won't mention, that relied on their reputation, and it's not anywhere near where it used to be.
Hey, so Chris, before we wrap up today, and I want to give Tom a chance to tell people how they can get in touch with his company if something happens. I guess not just if your basement gets flooded or you have a leak or you need a repair, but a lot more. What's coming up in January at KSU? Is there something on the docket coming up in January?
Yeah, in January, we are kicking off our Voice Meets Shark Tank competition. So that's when we are going to select the 100 students that we are going to work with and partner them with mentors and get down to our final one. So that kicks off in January, along with a whole host of other things that we're doing to just change students' lives.
Now, who's getting Mike Russell? Do we know yet?
No, that's going to be debated upon, negotiated. We're going to have to debate. So yeah, that's going to be fun.
Well, hey, for Tom, the people that want to use your service or learn more about what you do, where can they get in touch with you?
Well, you can certainly always call us at 770-419-9111 or visit us at awkwardguard.net. We've got a great set. Yeah, there you go.
I'm telling you, that stuff is stuck in my head.
Yeah,
you're right. That advertising agency did earn their money.
That's right. That was a jingle that we started, I don't know, over a decade ago.
Is that right? And, it's been 10 years?
It's been at least 10 years.
Well, it's awesome. And we wanted to thank you so much for coming on the show today. Congratulations on all your success.
Thank you very much.
And winning the Business Person of the Year. It's quite an accomplishment in this city. There's a lot of businesses. So congratulations on that.
Well, yeah, no doubt. And I, as someone who used to own a home improvement business a long time ago, growth is always incredibly challenging. Somebody who has grown it and continues to grow it at your level is so impressive to me. Growth is always hard and it always impresses me, but somebody in the home improvement industry is especially impressive to me. So congratulations
on
that.
Thank you very much.
Hey, well, we wanted to thank you all for listening to the Shrimp Tank today. As always, and you'll see a replay of this, if you only caught half the show and wanted to hear more about what Tom said or how to run a successful business, you can go to shrimptankpodcast.com. All the replays will be on there. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Go to the website. You'll see all the cool stuff that's coming up. And look, this Voice Meets Shark Tank, Shrimp Tank, right? It's going to be an amazing thing that's coming up. And Chris is doing amazing things with students at KSU and helping foster entrepreneurship in the state of Georgia. And we will be a leader in this state more than any other states that are out there. Join us in a couple of weeks. Well, actually next week, right, Lee? Right before Christmas here on December 23rd at 2 p.m. We're going to do a very interesting Christmas sort of holiday show that's going to be out there. We're going to bring in the kids of entrepreneurs. You better not bring in my kids. I don't know what they'll say on the radio, but we're going to bring in kids of entrepreneurs, talk about what's life like being a child of an entrepreneur and living in that household. Because I'm sure that my kids would say that my computer is a permanent appendage that I have right now. It's carried with me everywhere. But entrepreneurs are a very, very interesting breed. So that will come up next week. Join us on the show. And then we've got a fantastic set of programs for you coming up in January. As always, thanks to Tom. Thanks to Chris. And thanks for listening to The Shrimp Tank.